Human beings are very needy. But where do we turn for the things we need? Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
The things that he has received, mankind desperately needs. We desperately need power. We need power, the God's power to live in this world. We need riches, true riches, not the fading riches of this world. We need wisdom, wisdom that comes from God. Christ is that wisdom that comes from God. We need strength in our lives, the strength of God. We need honor, that's integrity that comes from God. We need glory, which is the very presence of God. And we need his blessing, his favor upon our lives. What Jesus has received, we desperately need.
Dwelling place, dwelling place.
On behalf of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast of The Dwelling Place. We've been steadily making our way through the book of Revelation, and we currently find ourselves in chapter 5, talking about heaven. The Bible paints such an incredible picture of what it will be like. And with that in mind, it would be a huge disappointment to not have our loved ones there as well. As we've heard Pastor Al Pittman say many times, we need to share the good news with them, so that they too can enjoy fellowship with God. Now here's Pastor Al with today's message.
Despite our weaknesses and our flaws, that he is able to bring forth living hope from that which is dead. Well, that's the nature of our God. I just wanted to point that out to you, amen? And therefore, I understand why the elder is saying, do not fear, don't weep. Why? Because where man has failed, the lion has prevailed. Amen. God has prevailed where we have failed. Despite our failures, something good is able to come out of our lives through faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, place your trust and your faith in him. And so now here at verses 6 and 7, he says, and behold, he said, I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain. Don't weep. There is hope. Somebody may need to hear that this morning. Don't weep. You're watching online or you're over at Creekside. Don't weep. There is hope because the Lamb is standing, a lamb as though it had been slain in the very presence of God, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and he took the scroll out of the right hand of God who sat on the throne. Wow. So what's the big wow about that? Because Jesus appears here in the midst of this heavenly vision, appearing as a lamb as though it had been slain, appearing as our eternal, everlasting, atoning sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb of God. It was John the Baptist said, behold, the lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, when he saw Jesus. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12 speaks again of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He came to this earth to sacrifice himself on the cross for us, to take our punishment upon himself. The wounds upon his body, upon this vision of this lamb standing before God, is because of our sins. In Hebrews chapter 9, the writer of Hebrews says, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not something made by men. It's not man-made religion. Not with the blood of goats and calves. That is, in the Old Testament, they would offer the blood of animals, animal sacrifice, but it was only there to temporarily take away the sins of Israel, and they had to do it year after year and day after day and all of that. And but it had to be ongoing. But Jesus Christ, the Bible says, with his own blood, he entered the most holy place, that is the very presence of God, how often? Once for all. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen. He's standing there with that lamb with sacrifice for our sins, took our punishment upon himself, offered up his own blood for our forgiveness. He stands as our marred redeemer, as a testament to our eternal security. You know how I know I'm going to be in heaven? Because the Lamb stands before God. You know how I know you're going to be there? Because of the Lamb. Amen? The Lamb of God who shed his blood for our forgiveness. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. That's why they offered the animal sacrifice, the innocent animals, that which was innocent for those who were guilty. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was offered for us. He who was innocent for those who are guilty. He offered his blood for us. But not year after year, not week after week or day after day. Once, hallelujah, amen. Once for all, hallelujah, praise his holy name. And stands as our eternal security, salvation before God. And this lamb that John saw, it's hard to imagine what he saw, but he's trying to describe it here. He said it has seven horns. Remember, seven is the Hebrew number for completeness. The horns in Scripture represent authority. In the Old Testament, it represents authority. And thus, the horns here represent perfect authority and imperial power by virtue of his sacrificial death, Christ. The seven eyes represent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And it also represents the perfect work of the Holy Spirit. We talked about that some time ago. The perfect work of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit into the world, amen? He said, I've got to go away. If I don't go, then the Holy Spirit can't come. And when he went, he said, I will not leave you as an orphan. I will not leave you by yourself. I'm going to send you a paraclete. I'm going to send you a helper, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we know the Holy Spirit is coming to the world to convict men of sin, righteousness, and judgment, according to John chapter 16, verses 7 to 11. But he also has come, according to John 16, to be a helper to those who put their faith in Christ. And how often we forget where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord. Jesus Christ, who has sent the Holy Spirit in the world to lead us into all truth, to be a helper to us in time of weakness. So the seven eyes here represent the power of the Holy Spirit that is with the Lamb of God. In verse 7, he takes a scroll from the right hand of God. The manifested glory of God on the throne of God, a hand appears and there's a scroll in it, but it's the right hand. And why the right hand? Because it's the hand of favor and it's the hand of acceptance. And only the Lamb could take the scroll from his hand. You and I couldn't even look at it. There was nobody worthy to take the scroll. Jesus Christ takes the scroll. Why? Because his blood sacrifice was accepted by the living God. His sacrifice was an acceptable sacrifice before God. He's the only one who could take the scroll. And again, the elders, I remind you of his words, do not weep. There is hope. And that hope is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. And then in verses 8 to 10, he says, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. Amen. A new song. He says, you are worthy. The song goes this way. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. There's a song declaring what's going to happen in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, where the saints of God will rule and reign with Jesus on the earth for 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. But here we also find, I believe, the only proper response to the Lamb. Not only a response that believers ought to have, but also the whole world is going to have. First and foremost, the whole world is going to bow down before the Lord. And I like to tell people, remind you that, you know what, you might as well bow down now because you're going to bow down later. Every knee will bow down. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And some people, I'm defying God to the very end. But the very people who have left this world cursing God's name will have to bow down before him. Paul reminds us of this in Romans chapter 14. He says, for it is written, the Lord God says, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Amen. In other words, get out of the judgment seat and get in the witness stand. Be a witness for Jesus to help encourage other brothers and sisters in Christ. Be a witness for him. Don't be judging, wasting your time judging one another, because you know what? There's only one judge. And to him we will give an account. Now, if we're in Christ, we're not going to stand before the great white throne judgment, but we will stand before the Bema seat of Christ, which is where God, Jesus, will judge our works, whether they be wood, hay, or stubble. You know, he's going to judge our works to see if they're truly done for his glory, that we've lived for his name, or were we doing it just for ourselves? So our judge, we will definitely give an accounting as believers, but it will not be before the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne judgment. But we will give an account for our works, for the fruit of our lives before the Lord. But everybody will give an account, especially those who are in the world. They will give an account as well. As the scripture tells us here, they will give an account of themselves before God. Because we don't have to give an account for ourselves in the sense that our righteousness, because Christ is our righteousness. Amen? Are you with me? Amen. So I want you to know that there's two different judgment seats. The Bema seat of Christ for the believers to judge our works, and there is the ultimate judgment seat, the great white throne judgment, for those who are in the world, the great and the small, will stand before God, and they will bow, and they will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Pastor Al has more to share about heaven in Revelation 5. But first, I want to thank you for being a faithful listener to The Dwelling Place. And we would ask you to pray for this radio ministry as we seek to reach the world with the gospel. And to do that, we could use your help. Would you pray about partnering with us financially? To join our support team, please give us a call at 844-221-3363 or visit our website at cwccs.org. We have some exciting news to share. We have officially launched our new podcast called Uncuffed. This podcast's purpose is to encourage you and to have conversations about issues inside and outside of the church in a more relaxed and uncuffed manner. You can find our Uncuffed podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. So make sure you subscribe to the Uncuffed podcast today. And I'm delighted to say The Dwelling Place is on oneplace.com. You can hear these daily programs via the oneplace.com app on your mobile devices. Or go to oneplace.com on your computer and listen when it's most convenient. Now, with more insight on heaven from Revelation 5, here's Pastor Al Pittman.
Notice the elders fell down before the Lamb, having a harp and also bowls, bowls full of incense, which are, the Bible says, the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints. I mean, what a great example for us, even here on earth now, in this heavenly vision, to understand that this is our proper response to the Lamb of God. What? Praise and prayer. The praise represent the harps represent the praise, to praise the Lord. And then the prayers of the saints, these bowls of incense. Now, in the temple in the Old Testament, there was the, you walk into the holy place, and there is the table of showbread, the showbread table. It represents the 12 tribes of Israel, the bread. And then across from it, it was on a golden table. Across from it was the golden lampstand. And up from the golden lampstand, there was an altar, a small altar, just before you went into the holy place. And the Jews could not go into the holy place but once a year on the Day of Atonement. The high priest went in there, amen, alone, by himself, to offer the blood of the sacrificial lamb, innocent lamb, on the mercy seat of God, which was on the top of the box, or the Ark of the Covenant. That was in the holy place, the most holy place. But before you went into the most holy place, which was divided from the holy place by a thick curtain, there was the altar of incense. And the priest would offer incense on that altar, and the incense would rise as if rising to heaven, and the incense represented the continual prayers of the saints, continual prayers of the people. I love that image, because when we pray, did you know that your prayers were a sweet aroma to the nostrils of God? A sweet aroma. He loves to hear us pray. I don't think he loves to hear us murmur and complain. I mean, those just stay in the room with you. Those prayers, amen. But the prayers that, Lord, I'm totally dependent on you, our cry, our heart cry to God, our dependence upon him, it rises. He never gets tired of it, as a sweet aroma to his nostrils. Isn't that beautiful? And so praise and prayer. If they're doing it here, we should do it here on earth, amen. It's our only proper response to the Lamb of God. Amen? We're thanking him for what he has done for us. Amen. And they sang a new song. A new song. Not the same old sad song. You know, I'm nothing, I'm worthless. No, it's a new song. A new song composed by the cross, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know why you can sing today? Because of his righteousness, not your own. You can sing today. You have a new song today. Not them old sappy songs from 1960s and 70s. Amen. Come on. You know? She's gone. Oh, it take the devil to replace her. And sometimes it did. Amen. I just lost all of you. Amen. But those old sappy songs, you know, feeling sorry, make me feel sorry for myself. No, we sing a new song, amen, composed by Jesus Christ, his righteousness, amen. Therefore, I don't care how I feel today, I can still sing, amen, because my righteousness is not of me, it is of Jesus Christ, amen. That's why we can sing a new song. It's based upon him and not ourselves. He's come to give us a new song, a song of eternal redemption, a song free of condemnation, for the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a song for every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. Every tribe, every tongue, and every nation, the Bible tells us here. In verse 9, the latter part, that means that it's a song that is neither black or white, it's a song that is neither conservative or liberal, it's a song that is neither rich or poor, it's a song for those who come to Jesus Christ. It is a boundless song, a song that is able to save to the uttermost, and yes, even to the guttermost. It doesn't matter how low you've sung, you can still sing this song if you will come to Christ. Amen? And so the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is interceding for me, therefore I can sing. Amen. There is now no condemnation, the Bible says, for those who are in Christ Jesus. In verse 10, Jesus has declared us priests and kings. Amen. Not because of ourselves, but because of his righteousness. In Christ, you are a priest, you are a king. You're not on death row anymore. Amen. You didn't earn the right to be called a priest and king. It is given to you according to God's grace. But that's what he declares us to be, priests and kings, and we shall reign with the Lord on the earth. Verse 11, and then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. In other words, couldn't count them all. Saying with a loud voice, what were they saying? They were singing unto the Lord, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now listen, if you want to go to heaven and have a quiet worship service, don't go to heaven. They sang with a loud voice, amen, proclaiming, worthy is the Lamb, amen. Wasn't
worthy is the Lamb.
Amen. With a loud voice they proclaim, worthy is the Lamb, to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Look at all the things listed there. To receive the things that he has received, mankind desperately needs. We desperately need power. We need power, God's power to live in this world. We need riches, true riches, not the fading riches of this world. We need wisdom, wisdom that comes from God. Christ is that wisdom that comes from God. We need strength in our lives, the strength of God. We need honor, that's integrity that comes from God. We need glory, which is the very presence of God. And we need his blessing, his favor upon our lives. Amen. What Jesus has received, we desperately need. Amen. And yet the world is looking in all the wrong places, looking for love in all the wrong places. Amen. What he has received, we desperately need. And then all of creation joins in. Verse 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And then the four living creatures, that old weird-looking quartet, they said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Wow, what a scene. What a mind-blowing heavenly scene. John has revealed to us here the revelation of Christ, revelation of the Lamb. In conclusion, many of you probably heard the story now of the, they call them the Dutchman, 69-year-old Dutchman who lives in the Netherlands. Anybody hear about this story? Who launched a legal bid to change his age, whereby he could legally declare himself 20 years younger. 69, so now he's 49. And his primary motivation was that it would improve his chances with women on dating sites. Talk about deception. Amen. I had all kind of comic material for that, but I thought, no, I better leave that alone. Amen. She wants to go out and party. You want to take a nap. That's not going to work. Amen. That's all I'm saying. But you know, he's only following the logic of this world. This is what he said, and I quote. He said, you can change your name, you can change your gender, why not your age? If you want to follow the logic of the world, if you feel like a giraffe today, we have to respect you as a giraffe. If you're a man who feels like a woman today, we have to respect you as a woman. Amen? If you want to be a woman who wants to be a man, then we have to let you in the men's restroom. You know, that's where we are today, so why isn't this logical? I'm 69, but hey, dude, 49 is going to improve my chances. Yeah? You can call yourself, you know, I can declare everybody in here 21 right now, but you go out and do stuff 21-year-olds are doing, amen? You'd be coming back trying to sue Pastor Al or whatever. You said I was 21. Yeah, okay. It's foolishness, but thinking themselves wise, they became fools. Now, why do I bring that up? Because I thought it was hilarious. But also to prove a point that we can change our age, our gender, our spouses, our careers, our hair color, but only Christ can change your eternal destination. Amen? You can call yourself 49 all you want, but, you know, the reality is that you're still going to have to give an account to God. Where's your eternal destination headed? What Jesus said in John chapter 5, he said, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Only the Lamb can give you life. The Lamb of God who was slain for the sins of the world. Only the Lamb can heal the sickness of mankind's disease. Separation from God, because only the Lamb can make you clean.
You've been listening to The Dwelling Place with our Bible teacher, Pastor Al Pittman, the pastor of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. As we close things out today, we want to remind you that you can hear today's message at our website, cwccs.org. We can also supply you with a CD copy when you call 844-221-3363. That's 844-221-3363. And you can listen to Pastor Al in The Dwelling Place on all Alexa-enabled and Google Home devices. Simply search for oneplace.com in the skills section of the Alexa app on your phone and hit the enable button. We have some exciting news to share. We have officially launched our new podcast called Uncuffed. You can find our Uncuffed podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and other streaming platforms. So make sure you subscribe to the Uncuffed podcast today. At The Dwelling Place, we pray that your walk with Jesus Christ has been strengthened by these messages. And we're grateful to those who choose to partner with us to see this ministry continue and even expand. To make a secure donation, drop by cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. That's GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also write to us at Calvary Worship Center, 505 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. If you missed any of that, it's all available at cwccs.org. If you're in the Colorado Springs area, visit us at Calvary Worship Center. We'd love to welcome you this weekend. Join us at our Westside Campus or our Creekside Campus. You can find service times and directions for both on our website, and we hope to see you soon. This has been The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, a presentation of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Dwelling Place.